Tonight we are turning to the great prophecy of Isaiah, and we're coming to the chapter 30. This is a very important chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. He is presenting the word of God against the word of man, and the strength of God's utterance as he utters the word to the people. And that word is of such power that the word of the enemy is completely liquidated and destroyed. The prophecy of Isaiah is a wonderful prophecy. And I want to read to you, first of all, some verses from the 30th chapter of that prophecy. Oh, to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may sin and commit sin, add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Soan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of the young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels. To a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now go and write it before them in a table, that note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the burning of it a shred to take firm from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But he said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall fire at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed, blessed are all of they that wait for him. These are solemn words. They have 2 headings. The first one, of course, is an examination of the state of the hearts of Israel at this time. But thank God, there's not only that examination, but there's an exaltation that God is going to set right, a remnant to save the church and the people of God. So I want to introduce to you, having read that very solemn portion of Scripture, I want to introduce to you what it is all about. Here we have the apostasy of the nation, the turning aside of those that should have been fighting the battle for God and truth and righteousness. Here we have darkness, deceit, devilishness, murder, and blood flowing, and all the pleasant things of God's land are all away. And there's great darkness and sorrow and death, and above all, the sword of God's judgment is out of the sheath, and it is not being plied by the Lord God upon the ungodly, Christless nations around Israel, but it has been drawn for judgment upon the people who should have been the people of God, but have become the people of the devil. So we have a very sad and a very desperate situation arisen amongst us. Their religion of apostasy to Egypt, the whole of the country turned to the shame of Egypt, this nation that God had already delivered the entire people of Israel. But they're no longer delivered. They are now depraved. They're even more filthy than the people who have depraved them. We have here shame and darkness as a result of sin. We look at verse 5 of this chapter, and we hear these words: they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. Here, the blood-bought, delivered nation, the whole nation of Israel, has been destroyed and brought down to the lowest possible level of sinning and of wickedness, because they have turned away from the laws of God and from the revelation of God's truth. This apostasy must be carefully marked, must be recorded, and must be studied. For we have a reflection of this apostasy on us all today. Our country benefited, was blessed with the glorious Reformation, with the turning from idols to serve the living God. This didn't happen without paying the price. Good, godly men and women put into the fire and burned. The most poisonous actions taken against them, so that there went up a cry to high heaven, O God, visit your people. That cry was not unheard, and God did visit his people. And the fires of martyrs and of godly servants of the Most High God, their deaths and their sacrifices started a flame which burned across the whole country and delivered this country and other countries from the darkness of Romanism, from the blackness of paganism, and from the rejection of God's commandments. And we had the glorious Reformation. We had the printing of the blessed Holy Scriptures. We have the turning away from religious apostasy to the simple gospel revealed in God's precious word. But today, the countries of the Reformation have turned back to darkness, turned back to the shadow of death, turned back to the evil of Romanism and apostasy. Look out over Europe today. Mark the nations of the mighty Luther. Mark the nation of the mighty Calvin. Mark the nations of this earth. They had all been delivered by the Reformation. But today, the Reformation is forgotten. The chains, the darkness, the rebellion of Romanism against truth reigns in all these lands. Darkness, darkness covers the earth, and great darkness the people. But thank God, we know that God is still on the throne, and we can take help and take strength from this 30th chapter of Isaiah. God still lives. The Almighty God is still upon the throne. Jesus is mighty to deliver. The gospel has lost none of its power. Something that encourages us is the promises that are mingled in this 30th chapter of Isaiah. God will not abandon his people. They may be slaughtered. They may die the hero's death of martyrdom. They may lose their ability to serve God with all their hearts because of the terrible apostasy of the day. But thank God, I look out through the glass of history, and I see that a better day is coming. And that day is the coming, of course, of Christ himself. He shall reign, and all enemies shall listen, shall lift his feet, and they will kiss it in obeisance to him. The glorious gospel of Christ is still all-powerful. And in verse 15, we read these words in this 30th chapter of Isaiah. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Notice the Lord is still the Lord. Notice that the God of Abraham is still the same. Notice that he is still the holy deity, the Holy One. And what is more, his people have still his word. And we have a great promise. Oh, what a promise it is. It says he's going to give us returning. That's what revival is, you know. Revival is the return of the people in a biblical way to enjoy the promises which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. I can sit here today and view all the sorrows and all the darkness, but I can look beyond it to a day when upon the clouds we shall see the rainbow. For God is sending a beautiful rainbow over the valley of tears. The revival of true religion is sure. Christ is not coming to a defeated world, but he's coming to a world which will be overcome by the treasures of his mighty grace. God's answer is sure. Yes, it is sure, and God is telling us to get into battle garments, to get the swords ready for the greatest defeat that shall ever take place in this old world. One day, and I don't think that day is far away, the glorious light will blind those already blind, but it will give sight to those who have sight today. And it's going to be a beautiful rainbow over the valley of tears. And the tears will have turned to the richest diamonds when Christ takes the throne, and all will shout, blessed be the name of the Lord. And what he wrought lonely and tried and suffering on Calvary's hill will come to full fruition, and we will have a creation cleansed completely of sin and rebellion and darkness and evil. And so let us look for a moment or two about some of the things that were dominating this chapter. And we read in verse 21 of this 30th chapter of Isaiah these words. and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. What way is that? It's the way of world, the final conquering of the world by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A world that the devil will not get his foot onto, because he's going to be removed into the darkness of eternal hell. And that's no part of the new world. There's no hell in the new world. There's no darkness in the new world. There's no rebellion in the new world. It's God's world, and all he died to give us with the price of his precious blood, we're going to receive with great joy. And so we read here about Christ, and we read here about the wonder of his reign. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. A world without weeping. Tears that are known. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Think of it. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. But what a wonderful reign he's going to engage in. And you and me are not going to be privates in the army of the Lord. We're all going to be the officers, the people that keep the commandments of God. Oh, what a prospect is in view when we read this. It says, thine ears shall hear a word behind you. So in this new world, the Lord will always be behind me. You'll never have a traitor to put a bullet in your back or a sword in your ribs. Why? Because Christ is behind us. That's one of the promises. But it's not only the Lord being behind us, but he is in the way with us. And he says, walk with me. Talk with me. I've often wondered what the first word he will say to me. And I think the first word he's going to say to me, welcome home, for we'll be at home at last. Oh, we'll not be worrying about the rents or the rates. We'll not be worrying about work that's got to be done. And will that man charge me too much for fixing my slates and fixing my abode? No. Heaven is two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. The quietest Christian will be shouting. And I'm looking forward to see some of the saints of God shouting. They're so meek and mild. They don't like rough preachers like me. But up there, they'll all be rough old preachers. They'll be back to the book. Back to the Savior. Back to the laws of God. And back to what heaven was right. Back before man was ever made. Think about it. We're going to be invited to that wonderful city of God. And it says, when ye turn to your right hand and to your left hand, it'll be all the same. Oh, the sweetness of the heaven that is going to come on the children of the Lord. Oh, they have a right to shout and sing, for the way is growing bright and our souls are on the wing. We are going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, there's going to be a new song in heaven. And people like me that can't sing well, I think I sing very well, but my friends tell me I'm not in tune. Well, I'm going to be in tune one day. And I'll ask the Lord to get you there to hear me sing. And it's going to be a song about Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. We're going to sing his praises for all eternity. And what's more, we're going to be really like him. For the first time, I'll be like Jesus. Oh, the wonder of God's going to speak of a welcome of joy, a welcome of victory. The battles are all over. The fight is all past. The temptations are forgotten. And we're all like Jesus. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, you look further down this chapter to chapter 31, and it's a different chapter. It's a chapter of damnation for all the enemies of God and Christ and the gospel and the Holy Spirit. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. My friend, there's a day coming when Egyptianism, which stands for anti-godism, will be finished with. And this day is a day, we are told by the old prophet, when they'll not be able to trust in the chariots, for the Lord God has burned them all up. There's not a chariot, but the chariots of God in heaven. All the chariots of man, where are they? They have been burned. Isn't that wonderful? And the holy ones will all seek the Lord. I used to sing a little hymn when I was in Sunday school, and it said in its word, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take our burden to the Lord and leave it there. But there'll be no burdens to bring. There'll be no sorrows to make us weep. All tears are banished. And better than that all, we're going to be like our lovely Lord. We will be a reflection of him for all eternity. in the sweet by and by we will meet on that glorious shore. The victory has come at last. Perseverance and preservation will be for us all. The faults and the apostasy will be finished. The final victory will have come. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, because ye have despised this word and trust in oppression and purposeness, and stay therein. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh and it will be in an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall be not found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, in returning and trust shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. We can surely today, as we lift our eyes across the landscape of prophetic scriptures, as we think again of the Lord's glorious coming to this world that he created, to think of the glories of heaven in the company of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, when I think about this, I just say, oh, there's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful power in the blood. It was the Savior's blood that bought all these eternal things that we'll enjoy for all eternity. But tell me, my friend, do you possess salvation? Have you washed your robe and made it white in the blood of the Lamb? As God looks upon us all, He sees blood-marked souls, but he also sees souls that have no blood mark. Oh, I plead with you, be ye reconciled to God. Eternity, eternity, where will you be in eternity? Not in hell, not in darkness, not in torment, but rather in heaven, at peace through the blood of the Lamb. I do believe it. I do believe it. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. My happy soul is free, for the Lord hath pardoned me. Hallelujah to his blessed name. Seek the Lord now. Before you arise, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. And what a great thing is the nearness of Jesus. Amen. And amen.